Drum roll. Oh, no, no, no. I will add a drum roll. Trust me.
And the intro.
That's it right there.
Coffee, rants, and all things Christian with the Parkview pastors and me, the intern, and drum roll. We have a very special guest this week, the one and only Chris Ward.
Woo!
Let's go!
Howdy.
Smattering of applause.
Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Oh my gosh.
How are you fellas?
I'm doing all right.
I got a mouthful of elk jerky, so...
Mm.
That's right, Chris.
Yeah. Really
Chris
good.
Chris came bearing gifts. So.
Yes.
Future guests.
Important safety tip.
Mm. Well, it is Christmas.
If you want to be invited on the podcast, you have to bring swag of some sort.
Is this the first guest that we've had on the podcast?
I think so.
Yes. I think so.
Wow.
Honorary.
Like ever.
Yes.
Wow.
That's good.
Mark this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
We haven't even had our wives on this podcast.
That's true.
Let's go, Chris.
Wow.
True.
You know.
That means you're special.
Really? So are we doing coffee first, or are we doing the jerky?
Oh, yeah,
coffee
yeah. So
I'm already two pieces in.
Yeah, I mean, I've had all of it.
All right, let's do the coffee first, and then we'll...
Real quick, Chris was nice enough to provide the coffee.
Yes.
And so I thought it was only fair that Chris shared with us what the coffee is and give us the description.
And actually, this is one of how many?
24.
We got... you know, this is the Advent season. We make a big deal here at Parkview about Advent and Christmas, and we celebrate that not just on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. It's a whole month-long Advent season. According to the ancient church calendar, it's four Sundays leading up to Christmas Eve. And so we do it upright here at Parkview, I think, as far as the celebration and the worthiness of that type of celebration. Mm-hmm. And so many of you are familiar with Advent calendars, the little countdowns. They have the little, you know, chocolate things where you open the window, you get a chocolate every day or something like that. Well, Chris has brought into the office an Advent coffee box. So we get to try a new coffee every day of Advent leading up to Christmas Eve.
Amen.
And so this has been a joyous Advent season for us. And so the coffee today is one of 24 coffees, and Chris is going to fill us in on it.
Okay, so Onyx Coffee Labs, they are a roaster. I believe they're out of Arkansas. Yeah?
Yes.
Today's coffee, day number 3 of the Advent season, is a Kenya Getcha Thaine.
Careful now.
Yeah. I'm just going to...
This is a family podcast.
Yeah. We're going to dub this the Kenny G. Okay? It's from...
That's David's favorite artist.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Kenny G. He loves Kenny G.
You know, I think I heard that before.
Shout out to David. Sorry you're not here to experience the Kenny G. So this is obviously from Kenya. It is a washed in the tasting notes. Does anybody want to guess?
Earlier we guessed like green beans.
Yeah.
Vegetable soup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it first brewed, it just had kind of an earthy aroma to it for me. But now that it has cooled down to the ideal temperature of 135, according to my Ember mug, because I'm bougie.
Odd flex.
Yeah. I know, odd flex. Thank you. Wow. It tastes good. I wasn't a fan when it was first poured and we were in the office, but now it's got a little bit smoother flavor to it. But it's more of a traditional smoky flavor to me than a more of a traditional just smoky regular coffee flavor. It'd be a good every morning coffee.
Yeah, my po' boy mug over here is chilled to a good, I don't know,
73 degrees because it's freezing in here.
Yeah. So I don't know that that's the ideal temperature anymore.
Yeah. Po' boy mug.
What do you think?
I will say I am picking up some of the citrus.
No. You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We made two batches. Chris was kind enough to bring his bag as well.
Thank you, Chris.
So we made some minor brew adjustments.
Okay. And so you picking up citrus in yours?
Can I just get a sip from yours?
I'm getting something kind of sweet, but I don't know if I would say citrus.
Is this your side?
Well, are y'all sharing cups?
What are you tasting, Chris?
This is cute.
Definitely a little bit of citrus.
Oh, dude, okay. Right. That is much better.
Is it? Okay.
That is good, much
get
better.
You want to try?
No, get on the front side. Just get the front side of the mug, Mike.
To the listeners, they're sharing some coffee. Right? No.
We could wipe it off. You know.
Don't pretend like you're not jealous.
John's cheating on Skylar over here.
So that's how this works.
Yeah.
No wonder you always sit by each other.
So Chris and Daniel and Clay are drinking out of the second batch.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. So that you guys are picking up some citrus.
That is a lot more citrus.
Ours is a lot more. How different the two.
Right.
Taste. Me too.
Right. So for the coffee nerds out there, it really does. Process does matter. The process of the bean and also the brewing process matters, because you can have the same coffee bean and extract different flavors from it depending on the grind and the pour. How long it takes to pour and everything else. So,
if I'm tasting a fruity coffee, I want it to taste like that, because it's not like overpowering, mm-hmm. but it's still there. Like,
there's no aftertaste, no bitterness afterwards.
No. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best.
Is chocolate we've one made of the so notes? Far?
No,
because it's got like a rich kind of. Huh. I don't know. It feels.
Would you call it a juicy mouthfeel? That's what they call it.
Yeah. I was trying to leave that out.
It's accurate.
Yeah. It is.
Gosh. I mean, this is a family podcast. So.
Well, that's right.
Grapefruit, plum, sugarcane, juicy.
Juicy. So those are cupping notes, not.
Yeah,
they're not doing a flavor profile. Cupping is like the process for tasting coffee that a roaster will use, or a roaster will actually do that before they even buy from the farm. They'll go to the farm, they go through a cupping process to taste it. That's where they.
Alright.
No, but I really do want to be a part of a coffee tasting cupping though.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
Mm-hmm. It's like a flight of coffees they put in front of you, and then you write down like, here's what I'm tasting. Right.
That's kind of like my dream job would be to do that, but with Ben & Jerry's ice cream in Vermont.
Oh, gosh. Nice. This is so fun.
To be the quality control guy. I know that's completely off topic, but
when
I start thinking about tasting for flavors and quality and that kind of thing, I think I would rather do that with ice cream than coffee.
What's your favorite?
Have you seen the video of the, it's an older guy, and he works at like, he works for Edie's or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's a taster. He's a professional taster. And he takes a little like wooden stick of ice cream and he puts it in his mouth and he goes, and here's how you do it. You gotta like move it around. And he's like, he does all these like different like.
That hurts my head.
It was like, but he like, he does it over and over again. And he goes, oh, make sure you get the bottom of the stick. And I'm like, and I watched that and I was like, this is like peak humanity right now.
Yeah.
That is peak humanity.
Yeah.
All right. So the coffee. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for the array of coffees that we'll be drinking in the office.
Well, it's thank you, Ward family.
Yes.
Because I made the mistake of saying just Chris.
Oh yes, yes. And Jessica and Aspen are vital players in that process. So,
absolutely.
Appreciate you guys. And the coffee's good. And we've been enjoying it. I'm really excited about the ones that are coming up, because I've seen there's some. Honey processed,
yes.
As well as some anaerobic process. So I'm excited about getting into those later on.
Now, I'll also say that Chris was taking notes during the Generosity series, because he also brought us elk jerky.
Yes.
And so you want to talk about that a little bit? What goes into that?
But first off, did you kill this elk?
Yes.
It's because you're a man. That's like,
where?
Where did I kill it at?
Yeah.
Colorado.
In Colorado. So this is Colorado elk jerky.
Yeah. Last year's harvest. Hmm. Secret family recipe.
No.
Off of Google. It's actually a it's a chili lime honey recipe.
Ooh.
So there's definitely ingredients of honey, lime juice, and sriracha sauce is the secret sauce.
That's good.
Nice.
It's
really good.
I can taste that.
It's very good.
Yeah. It's really good. It's really, it's good. Got a nice kick to it.
It does.
That's not, it's like, I like spicy.
Yeah.
I don't like hot just for the sake of hot.
Yeah, yeah.
But this has a really good flavor to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's not
Thank
overly.
You. Yeah, I don't marinate it long because it does get very hot.
Right. Okay.
The longer that it sits. So it's literally, I just throw in a bag and take it right out and put it on my Traeger.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because I've seen, like, they sell, like, jerky machines, like, ovens that are created just for drying out meat and making jerky, but you just did this on your Traeger grill.
On my Traeger. Smoked it.
So you...
225 degrees.
So did you slice this into thinner yes. slices off of a roast or off of what?
Yeah, a ham, elk ham.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right.
So... Okay.
What'd you kill it with? Your bare hands. I knew it.
Grabbed it by the antlers.
No, I actually, it's my it's bow and arrow archery.
Wow, so
that's even more manly. Yeah. Yeah.
30 yards. I mean, I could take the whole podcast and tell you about it, but.
Yeah.
Well, sounds that's like good. We need another episode.
Yeah. Thank you for that. That's really,
really good. So it's really good.
Glad you guys enjoy
enjoying it. That.
Yeah, we might finish the bag.
John I Seth keep, is enjoying it more than everybody else.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I keep going back.
So for our banter segment, I think because Chris and Aspen and is Jessica a fan of the show?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay. See, I wasn't sure.
It'd be kind of awkward if she
tolerates us.
After that
sorry,
question.
Jessica.
Actually,
no, she actually
so hates us like poison.
So real quick story. So a background. So our family started coming to Parkview spring break 2 years ago, and in June we were on Aspen was at a summer camp, a STEM camp down in Miami, University of Miami. Mm-hmm. So go Canes.
Go Canes.
Only thing they
have. Second best team of Florida.
Well, yes, that is correct. But that trip down, we actually started listening to the podcast. We've actually listened to every episode.
Wow.
And some multiple times. Well, me and Aspen, we listen pretty much every day on the way to school as a drop her off. So we've heard some of these episodes 4 or 5 times.
Wow. So, Chris yes. is really acquainted with our voices.
Yes. Yes. 3 to 4 times more than I have listened to. Yeah. Maybe that's 4 to 5 times more than I've listened to.
So, the funny thing is, and I will say this, it's interesting because we get to know you guys very well. But the I guess maybe the downside is, its backside is we don't have, there's not that two-way conversation. So, it's funny because like I'll find myself inserting myself into a conversation that you guys have had on the podcast, but you guys for y'all like mm-hmm. I'm you know we're the outsiders looking in kind of
we
thing.
Accept it, we love it.
Yes,
that's right, we do.
So. Anyone who knows me knows this. I love forced friendship. So you just throw yourself into a friendship and it's the best because people don't know how to handle that. So you just throw yourself into the conversation.
Are you calling me a forced friend?
Yeah,
I think that's yes.
Your silence is screaming at me right now.
I don't like the word outsider because I don't think of your family as like an outside family. I think of you guys as like you guys think, are a part of this church. You guys,
I don't think it was that deep, Clay.
He was just giving.
Clay was like, "You're not an outsider in the family. Of God. You were adopted. You were chosen. You were redeemed by God, Chris.
You are loved, adopted."
Remember the joy of your salvation, Isaiah 12, Chris.
Clay, this is the Christmas episode. Right? Don't get theological.
Yeah, we're not going deep.
Oh my gosh, you guys killed me.
Banda.
Chris and I we came together, and I asked Chris if he would come up with something for our banter segment. So we're going to do a little bit of Christmas movie trivia.
So I'm also thinking like, you know, first prize, bright, shiny toboggan. Second prize, a box of candy canes. Third prize, you're fired.
Well, I don't want the candy canes. Oh.
We're really shooting for first place here.
Yeah, this took a turn. Right.
I don't feel good about my chances.
I'm going to go. Like,
if Chris picked the movies, I'm in.
Clay said, I think I got gas in my stomach. I need to leave.
Tummy. Belly.
Too soon?
Too soon. Belly. Gas is belly.
Yeah, let's start with Home Alone.
Question number one. Where is Kevin's family getting ready to travel for Christmas?
France.
I'll give it to you. It's Paris.
Paris.
Yeah, no, don't give it to him.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm getting it right.
No, you should say be more also. Specific so then we could have jumped in with the right answer.
Ooh, I gotcha. Yeah, okay.
Since you didn't, 1 point for me.
I'm tracking. I'm tracking.
What's the wrong?
Okay. I think we can move through these pretty quick.
Yeah, go. Yeah. Let's go.
Let's go.
What is the name that the two thieves, Harry and Marv, give themselves?
Oh, the Wet Bandits.
Yes.
Got
good
it.
Job. Good job, Daniel.
Why does Kevin not want to sleep with Fuller?
What's the bed?
Why are the McAllisters in a rush when they wake up?
The alarm was set wrong.
They missed their plane flight.
Slept through the alarm.
Yes, but do you remember why the alarm was
set wrong?
Is there a power failure?
Yes.
There you go.
There was a windstorm that night that knocked out the power.
I totally guessed.
Question 5. What does Kevin think when he realizes his family is gone?
I know the answer.
What?
My family went to Paris and forgot me at home.
It's a no for me, dog.
And then he makes a weird face.
No, absolutely.
It's a very specific wrong memory there.
False. Oh, false, Clay. False.
Oh my gosh. What's the next one?
Elf.
Elf. Oh, wow. Okay, that's a good
one. Yep. Oh, I'm going to raise the bar a little bit here. Which actor plays the role of Buddy the Elf's dad at the North Pole?
Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
Got it. How does Baby Buddy end up at the North Pole?
Crawls into the bag in the orphanage.
Where does Buddy's real father live?
New York.
Oh, that was Skyler.
Skyler.
New York. Oh.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Let's do it.
Let's do this thing.
Here we go.
Okay. So this is what
Chris Griswold. On.
Yes, point.
Did you also just say Chris?
That is not. That's not it, though.
I've never seen
negative
Rick,
1 point.
Sorry, it's Rick Griswold.
But if you said Carl, that would count because he gets called Carl once.
Take away all of John Seth's points.
Zero
points. What? May God have mercy on our souls.
All right.
What is the name of the character played? Oh no, that's easy.
Got him. Chris Griswold.
It's actually Clark Griswold. Just in case. Get it right. What does Clark use to put up lights on his house?
A ladder. A staple gun.
Staples.
That's me, bro.
What are the first names of Griswold's neighbors?
The woman from Seinfeld.
Chad and Margo. Tad and Margo. It's Margo.
Margo is correct.
I don't know Margo.
Thad.
I don't, that's what I was thinking.
Thad and Margo.
Thad.
Todd.
Got a point for me for getting my guess.
I had the first and last letters right.
Oh my gosh.
What is Clark waiting for in the movie after he put down
Christmas
put
bonus?
Bonus check.
Oh.
Bonus. What is the name of Cousin Eddie's dog?
Snot.
Yes. Snot it is.
I remember.
What is Ellen, Clark's wife's pet name for him?
Ellie.
Sparky.
It is Ellie? Sparky is the correct answer. Oh. Mike, thank you.
Have you seen your favorite movie?
I do love this movie, but...
Yeah.
No.
You
said
when
you
said
this was your favorite movie?
It really
your
is.
Your favorite Christmas movie?
I just don't pay attention to details, guys.
Do we want to do Die Hard or Grinch?
Ooh.
Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Yeah, let's do Die Hard.
Nakamoto Tower. Boy,
Nakatomi. Plaza.
Okay, so question 1. How does McLean manage to get the attention of Al?
He shoots a machine gun at him.
Nope.
He throws a chair out the window.
Nope.
You just shoots it out.
Nope.
How does he get Al's attention? By shooting at him.
He throws the body of a terrorist out of the window.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Had to do something
attached. I wasn't expecting that.
That's right. That's right.
Why does McLean travel to Los Angeles on Christmas Eve?
Trying to reconnect with his wife.
Yeah, family something.
I knew it was something with family.
Yeah. I wasn't sure of the specifics, but...
Skyler.
Yeah, half a point.
Which Hollywood actor narrated How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Was it the guy that played Dracula? What's his name? Christopher Lee? Was it Christopher Lee?
No.
No, okay.
Who was it?
Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
dang.
What's the name of the town the Grinch lives in?
Whoville,
yes. What do the Who's think the Grinch was born with that was two sizes too
hard
small?
Hard.
Yep. What's the name of the Grinch's dog?
Max.
Which Who girl is the Grinch in love with?
The mayor's
yuck
wife.
Martha.
Martha.
What's the name of the mayor?
I don't know any of these. The
mayor. He has a name. I've only seen this movie twice.
Yeah, me too.
Augustus Mayhew.
Okay.
Okay, last question. What does Cindy Lou's dad do for a job?
He's a mailman. Postage man. He works in the post office.
Postman.
He's the postmaster.
I'm going to count that.
Yeah.
He sends mail. He sent a letter one time. He wrote a letter.
He's
a writer. All right, who won?
That was a lot of fun.
We don't need to know.
Who won?
Actually, Mike. With 16 points.
With how many?
16.
Oh,
Mike.
Okay.
Good job, Mike.
Yeah, that was fun.
So,
and in Clay points, that's like 34.
So Mike gets the toboggan.
All right.
Oh, no.
I guess I'm taking over as
you are. You took his job.
Clay is out.
Oh, my gosh. That was really... The thing is now I'm in the mood to watch all these movies.
You're fired.
Okay. Well, so I thought we would do a quick Q&A kind of just to finish off the episode and the season, I suppose. We did not have any... sent in Advent questions. I made a couple up that I thought would be good for some fruitful discussion. First, people say that Christmas is a pagan holiday. Why do they say that? And how can we as believers defend against that in the Advent season?
Well, first of all, Christmas is not a pagan holiday. Some of the rituals that are associated with Christmas might have pagan roots.
Greed.
Who are these people?
But Christmas itself, is not a pagan holiday. It's a church holiday. It's a religious holiday. It's a Christian holiday.
I'll clarify also that the only people that I've actually heard, for the most part, say Christian is a pagan holiday or Christmas is a pagan holiday, is usually like some kind of religious person who's trying to argue against Christianity. In favor of whatever their religion is.
Yeah.
That's the only context I've ever heard.
Right. I've heard, well-meaning, well-intentioned Christians disparaging some of the traditions of the Christmas holiday as being pagan.
Yeah.
There are some pagan roots to some of these things. I think a humanist or secularist view would say that it falls on the winter solstice, and so which was something that pagan people worshipped on. They worshipped the gods of the moon and that kind of thing, and so they tie all that in and say that because Christmas is around that same time that it must be pagan also.
Tryhards.
They really is a stretch. Because the bottom line is this: there are things that may have pagan roots to them that have been Christianized for the advancement of the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's no different for me anyway. As long as we keep the proper perspective on these things, nobody's dancing around a Christmas tree and worshiping a Christmas tree like an astro pole or any of those things. We're not participating in some kind of pagan ritual mm-hmm. that involves a Christmas tree. We're not worshiping that. But what missionaries had done and what the church did was they took things that were already known in the world that they were trying to reach and they Christianized them. That's Christianizing something is different than syncretism. Syncretism is when you take different aspects of different religions, you put them all together, you hold all of them as equally true, and you integrate those things into it. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference in that and then Christianizing something and using an example of something that is worldly to point people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And for me, where I go back to, they say, well, how can you defend that as scripture? Well, I go to Acts 17, and Paul is standing in the Areopagus and he's looking around at all of the idols. Mm-hmm. And so he's looking at all the idols and he sees an idol that's to the unknown God. Mm-hmm. And so he takes something that is pagan, something that is anti-God, something that is a false religion, and he uses it to point people to the identity of the one that they don't know.
Oh, wow.
Can you say that's contextualization?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so he points people to the gospel of Jesus Christ using a pagan environment and a pagan setting, a pagan context.
Okay.
And so I think that that's what's happened in Christendom over the years with Christmas, even with Easter, those kind of things, is they would use things associated with maybe a false worship, and then they wouldn't syncretize those things into Christianity. They would change them. They would change the meanings of them, and they would use them the only word I can come up with is Christianize them by using them as tools for the advancement of the gospel.
Okay.
And so I think that's what we do at Christmas very often. Was Jesus actually born on December 25th? I doubt it. But the church needed to set a day to, in its calendar, be able to focus in on the incarnation of Christ. And that's where a lot of this comes from too. And where we lose a lot in the translation, in our culture is we don't, especially in Baptist culture, there used to be a thing called a church calendar. It still is. Mm-hmm. There is a church calendar, and the church has different seasons, and that was developed centuries ago so that the church would be around the world would be on the same page with where its focus was in the teaching of the whole counsel of God's word. So you have Advent at Christmas time, and they would celebrate Advent and focus in on the birth narratives, on the virgin birth of Christ. That's a part of the creed, so that was the part of the creed that they would focus in on.
Yeah.
And so they used the December 25th, and all of that was kind of developed as the beginning of the church calendar. And then you would have Epiphany after that, and then you would have Lent, and then Easter, and then Ordinary Days or Pentecost, and so the calendar was split up so that the church could focus in on different Christian themes mm-hmm. throughout the year, and they could do it worldwide. So that's why they had to settle in on a date.
Yeah.
So whether it's December 25th or not is really immaterial. We're missing the point if that's what we're going to argue about.
Yeah.
The fact is that the church set aside a season that is called Advent. Advent means coming, so it's the Advent, the coming of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we celebrate during this season. That's why we make it more than just about the day, by the way. It's not just about December 25th. It's about a season of celebrating what God has done to save his people from their sins.
Oh,
the incarnation of Christ. He steps out of the glories of heaven, clothes himself in humanity, comes in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. He lives the life that we were supposed to live but can't because of our sin. And because of his perfection, he's able to take on the penalty of our sin, die on the cross in our place for our sins, be buried in a grave that was reserved for us, and then on the third day rise again, defeating both sin and death and extending to us the offer of eternal life. Mm-hmm. And it all starts with the incarnation of Christ, with this season of the church calendar. Mm-hmm. And so this is the beginning of the gospel. And I like every year I did this on Wednesday night. We kind of shifted our attention from the Every Day with Jesus Bible readings to an Advent series. I love a good origin story.
Yeah.
I love when you have movies, you've got a trilogy, or you've got some movies that are out there, and then all of a sudden they produce something that gives you the backstory to all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my favorite things to do at Advent is we're so used to it. Our families and our church, we have the traditions of reading the birth narratives. We look at Matthew and we look at Luke and we read those, and we rightly so, we should do that. But one of my favorite things to do is go to the origin story. So I like to look back into the prophets, because Isaiah sets up all of this very well for us, and some of the other minor prophets do as well. Set up the stories that we're familiar with at Christmas. Those origin stories actually happen, you know, 700 years before the actual event.
Yeah.
And so we go back and we look at Isaiah 7 and we talk about, you know, Emmanuel coming, being born of a virgin.
Yeah.
And you look at Isaiah 9 and it's, you know, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The government will be upon his shoulders. It's talking about the coming of the kingdom that we know is now been realized in Christ's incarnation.
Yeah.
Or at least inaugurated in Christ's incarnation, in the first coming. And so what we do at Advent is we understand the anticipation and the hope that people had in the Old Testament as they looked forward to the advent of Christ. Now, as a church, we carry on that tradition by anticipating with hope and joy the second coming of Christ. So, so Advent is meaningful to us because it's the fulfillment of what was hoped for and anticipated by the Jewish people. But it's also a great reminder for us to live with that same hope and anticipation as our forefathers did, because we look forward to his second advent, the second coming. Is it a pagan holiday? People can try to argue that all they want. I'm not going to entertain that as a viable. All conversation is viable. I just think that there's an agenda behind people wanting to reference it as a pagan holiday that I think is, it starts with false premises.
Yeah.
So it's a discussion I'd be glad to have, but you're not going to convince me that it's that because it, there's elements of it that are pagan, that it's a pagan holiday.
Yeah.
I think that the biggest difference today is in our culture, nobody thinks, hey, let's put up a Christmas tree and worship it or worship what it represents.
Right.
It's something completely different in our cultural context.
Yeah.
And any more than some of the other things in Deuteronomy or in the law as well, that we view it from a different cultural context, and so it takes on a slightly different meaning, a little bit different meaning.
Yeah. Lastly, if we want, we could just kind of go around and talk about just some, you know, good memories that we've had during Christmas time with our friends and families. Chris?
There's so many memories, Clay. It's kind of hard to pick just one.
That's fair.
But I will say, definitely, spending time with family.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, I mean, not to sound too cliche, but I think the way we do Advent season here at Parkview lends to good family memories. Having the family gather together, you know, whether it's Christmas Eve service or Christmas Day service. You know, how you guys kind of lay that out for us, I think is good. It's good to be together with family, celebrating, mm-hmm. worshiping God. So,
yeah, it's good. Yeah, for me in the past, you kind of mentioned that Christmas Eve service for me has been something pretty special. Yeah. I just enjoy being with family, but also being with the church family in that time of worship. And one particular one I remember was when I first started doing Christmas Eve services. I was pastoring in Miami, and our church had never, it was a traditional, established, long-term Baptist church. They never really did Advent or anything like that. The pastors that we had before always had family that lived in outside of Miami. They were not from Miami, and so they would go home for Christmas, that kind of thing, and they would get other people to fill in. So our church didn't really do a whole lot with that. And so when I became the pastor of that church, because of the diversity of our cultures in Miami, the diversity of religions, we had a lot of folks that were coming out of Catholicism and out from some of the more liturgical types of denominations, and so there was kind of a strong mix there, and so we decided to start doing a Christmas Eve service, and the second Christmas Eve service that we did, my daughter, who was elementary age, sang "Happy Birthday, Jesus" in that Christmas Eve service, nice. And it just kind of warmed my heart there. And then one special memory for me here at Parkview, we did a Christmas Eve service maybe 3 years ago, where my granddaughter, we were there and we were all lighting candles, and my granddaughter was there, and my family was Blair was sitting on the second row, and so we're standing down there, we're all singing Silent Night, and I'm sitting there holding my candle, and next thing I know, my granddaughter is walking down the aisle coming up to see her granddad, and so I've got my candle and she's got her candle, and she just comes in, and I just sat down on the step next to her while we finished singing Silent Night. It was just kind of a moment for me, and awesome. So they're my favorite Christmas time memories, I think, all come out of those moments where I'm able to be with my family in the context of my extended family, my church family, just celebrating in that moment the advent of Jesus on Christmas Eve. So
that's beautiful.
Well, Dylan has an open invitation to sing Mary Did You Know every Christmas Eve.
That's now, right.
Meg,
yeah.
If you want to come sing Happy Birthday, Jesus.
Oh, funny. Yeah.
You guys could do a duet.
That's right. We could do a mashup.
Dylan, I'm sure.
Mary,
love
did
that.
You know? With Happy Birthday, Jesus. Hey, we can mash that up like we'll call Anna Kendrick.
That would be something. That would be something.
Yeah.
Just make sure you have John.
You're working
Seth.
On that, Meg.
John Seth has to do the old Gregorian chant.
Yeah.
Make sure you add him to the mix.
Yeah.
Daniel's been working
Christmas
on a duet.
Christmas dirge.
Daniel's been working on a duet with Mary DiGiuno for a little bit, answering the questions for me.
That's right.
Yes, she did.
Yes, she did. Yes, Daniel would provide the commentary to your song. Mary DiGiuno. It'd be like the old Masterpiece Theater where they're watching a movie and making fun of it at the same time. Daniel's going to be sitting on the front row. We're going to get an image of the back of his head making fun of Skylar singing Mary DiGiuno. Yes. Yeah,
it is hard for me to choose one. I think back to just nostalgic times of being with my parents growing up, but now also establishing some traditions with with Shelly and the boys and stuff. So we're kind of getting into that. Shelly and I love to go do a Christmas getaway type of thing. So those are always fun, just to get away during that time and go somewhere that's nice and Christmassy and lit up and all those type of things. So it's hard for me to pinpoint one, but those are all the things that kind of go through my mind around this time, and Christmas Eve is obviously one that our service isn't necessarily a family memory for me because I'm on the stage and they're not, but that is always a significant moment within this Advent season. So
so where are you going this year? Have you decided yet?
Well, I can't say.
Okay.
It's a surprise?
That's because you don't know.
I also don't know.
Yeah. Judy and I keep looking at maps, trying to figure out if there's a place we want to drive to or a place we want to fly to, and we can't decide where we're going yet.
We alternate. Shelly plans 1 year, and I don't know, and then I plan 1 year, and she doesn't.
That's always fun. That seems like a fun tradition.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, John Seth, what about you?
We started two traditions when me and Brittany got married. One is we always eat sushi on Christmas Eve. We love sushi, and it's just fun. It's just a fun tradition we've started. And then we do a Christmas Eve hike as well.
Hike? Okay. Yeah, but what has made sushi even more special for you guys now on Christmas Eve?
JJ. JJ loves sushi now too. And so now it's not just me and Brittany anymore. It's like our whole me, JJ, and Brittany will eat sushi.
But it's a family moment.
They don't like sushi, Skylar.
Yeah. Daniel?
So, it's fun.
For me, I would have trouble picking, choosing a specific memory. But really just, letting the kids open presents. We do it on Christmas Eve.
Oh, good. Okay.
We do that in our house. That's like our Christmas morning just for us. And then we'll do the Christmas Eve service at night and then drive down south to be with family on our extended family on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. And that's a fun time too because all the cousins are around and it's a lot of fun for the kids.
Yeah.
I will say though, our Christmas concert here that we do each year and our Christmas Eve service are two of the few occasions throughout the year where we'll all, the whole family is sitting down to worship together.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so those are very special times for us.
That's nice. Yeah. Good. That's good.
I like gifts too. I didn't say that, but.
Oh, the gifts.
I also like getting gifts.
Okay.
You can't see my face.
Every good gift.
Right.
I like getting every good gift.
Every good gift. Every good gift. Yeah. That's right. I just love the Advent season.
Are you going twice, Clay?
So yeah, I know, right? So what?
Well, in his defense, that first story was about a third as long as I thought it was going to be. Okay. So,
all right, I got you. I'm good.
So anybody remember a favorite Christmas gift from the past?
Yes.
Something that you got when you were a kid?
Ooh.
As a kid?
Yeah, or not.
I got one. Tech deck. I got a little tech deck skateboard with a little half pipe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you didn't break anything?
It's the finger.
Okay. All right.
No. So there was one.
When I think of skateboard and half pipe, I'm thinking.
Well, there. Okay.
I'm
so one Christmas.
911.
One Christmas, all my brothers got skateboards, but my parents were like, "You're just not the skateboarding type, John said."
Oh no.
So they got me roller skates.
Oh wow. How long were you in therapy for that?
I should have gone to therapy for that.
I remember. I think I was 8 years old. I got my first BB gun.
Oh.
Yeah. I think that's why I like the Christmas story so much because it just brings back the memories of not shooting my eye out. But
I got a pellet gun pistol in here.
Oh, okay.
My parents did not trust us.
We had 2 years
roller skating time.
Yeah, I was a roller skating type.
We had two occasions as kids where there was a Christmas puppy.
Right.
That was so
cool. Now we have upgraded. Yeah. I think a couple Christmases ago, my father-in-law got me a .40 caliber pistol. So
that's
good. That's
fun.
Yeah, that's fun to shoot. But Yeah, so I've gone from BB guns to mm-hmm. more power.
What are you, Chris?
I remember one time as a kid, I got a Power Wheels four-wheeler.
Whoa.
Yeah, and that's like that's probably fine. The original Power Wheels.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, you know. So
let's go. That's yeah. a good gift.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
For my fifth Christmas, my mamma bought, shout out to mamma Judy. But,
mamma.
But.
I gotta go.
Oh.
I gotta go. To
bye, John. Sir.
Is this to again or?
Nope.
Okay. Okay. Careful. We'll bleep that out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Anyway, as little kid.
You actually do bleep stuff out?
I do, yeah, sometimes.
Like.
I will keep it in, but I'll put a bleep sound over it. Yeah. So, anyway, it was like my fifth Christmas, I think. And when I was a little kid, I really loved the two Toy Story movies that were out. And so my mamma picked up on this pretty early on. And for my fifth Christmas, she bought me a Woody and Buzz, like plush toys from a store called KB Toys, which is no longer in business. But these plush toys were about this tall each. Listener, you can't see, but it's like waist height for me. And so, but they were really tall, and it was a Woody, and he had like a detachable hat, and you could still pull his drawstring. He would still, you know, he didn't have any kind of like lines because it wasn't that kind of toy, but it was cool. There was a Buzz Lightyear, and you could still flip his helmet up, and I still have them, but I keep them at her house in her townhouse in Ohio. And so every time I go to visit my family, I'll go down to her basement, and they're like right there on the couch, and sometimes it's kind of creepy, but other times it's like, oh, Emma.
Oh, this is funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how often did you wear Woody's hat?
When it would fit, like a day, because I have a massive head. So it didn't fit very often. But
gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
Most memorable gift.
Sweet. Was that story about the length you anticipated, Daniel?
I'm trying to
actually that one was a little short also.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I mean, there was a lot of extra details there. Like,
right,
right. Like Katie's store, Katie's toys, yeah. See, I
do remember that store though.
You do?
I do.
Yeah. Wasn't it great?
Huh?
Yeah.
It was it like in the mall?
Yes.
It was like malls don't exist anymore, so.
Right, right, yeah, right. Valid.
Good talk, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, thanks guys for letting me come on.
Oh, oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know it's a, I'm very appreciative of the opportunity. I'm honored to be your first guest on
That's right.
Coffee Rants and all things Christmas.
Nice. I know. I thought
well
it too.
Number two.
Well played.
Yeah.
Number two.
Thanks for bringing in the coffee and the jerky.
And the jerky. That's the real deal there. That was the real deal. We appreciate that.
We threw a pretty big bag of that jerky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to bring more. I mean, I've got a whole freezer full. Well, thanks for listening. If you would, leave us a 5-star review on your listening platform. And these guys will see you in January.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks. Delicious dish.
Let's go.
Clay, you're fired.